Hello, and welcome to Words of Wisdom, a podcast dedicated to reflecting on the wisdom of the Book of Proverbs. Your host is Dr. Jerry Weirwool, who will share life-giving truth from Proverbs that will help us become wise and discerning. Wisdom is a journey, and we hope you will join us for this exciting adventure.
Proverbs 27:18 says, "The one who keeps watch over a fig tree will eat of its fruit, and the one who cares for his Lord will be honored." First, there is a form here of emblematic parallelism in this proverb. Emblematic parallelism is an additional type of parallelism besides the three primary forms: synonymous, antithetic, and synthetic. However, one might say that emblematic parallelism could be viewed as a subcategory of synthetic parallelism because the two lines are interconnected and the overall meaning of the proverb is constructed from both lines. In the first statement, "the one who keeps watch over a fig tree will eat of its fruit," it forms an emblem, that is, a symbol, by which a principle is being conveyed. The Hebrew word translated "keeps watch over" can mean to guard, to protect, or to care for. And in light of the horticultural imagery that we see here, a more nuanced translation might be "to tend to," so that the line would read, "the one who tends to a fig tree will eat of its fruit." Now, one question that we might ask is, why does the proverb mention a fig tree? Is a fig tree simply an example of a fruit-bearing tree? Or is there something specific and particular about fig trees that makes them the most appropriate choice for the proverb? Well, the most important piece of information to consider when answering this question is to understand the purpose and meaning of fig trees in ancient Israel, and whether there's anything special about the fig tree that would lend to its inclusion in the proverb. One thing that is well known about fig trees is that they were among the most highly valued trees in ancient Israel. The sweet, small, rounded fruits were easily dried and preserved due to their high sugar content. Some variety of fig trees can produce fruit rather quickly, but in general, fig trees grow slowly and take years to mature and produce fruit. In addition, if we are talking about the sycamore fig tree, which was very common in ancient Palestine, like the one that Zacchaeus climbed in order to see Jesus, you can see Luke chapter 19, verse 4. It requires that each fig be notched to properly ripen, which is a very laborious and painstaking process. Thus, this background information suggests that the fig tree required much patience for it to grow and produce fruit. And in some particular species of fig trees, it required very diligent effort in tending to the growing figs in order to obtain a good harvest. And so the principle that is likely being expressed in line one is that if a person is faithful and attentive to take care of a fig tree, they will be rewarded in due time with the fruit that is produced. Next, if we take this principle from the first line and read the second line with it in mind, we'll be able to see how the emblem, that is the symbol, is being applied figuratively to a new scenario. The second line reads, "And the one who cares for his Lord will be honored." Here, there is no mention of tending to fig trees or eating its fruit. Instead, they are paralleled by "the one who cares for his Lord" and "being honored." In the same way that a person who faithfully tends to a fig tree will receive the benefit of enjoying the sweet fruit that it produces, so also the person who cares for his Lord will receive the benefit of being honored by their Lord. One thing to mention is that in the Bible, the Hebrew word translated Lord can refer to several different things. It can refer to God, angels, kings, a master who has slaves, and a husband or the head of a household. Here, the word Lord likely refers to a master or head of a household who is being taken care of by a servant. In ancient Israel, people didn't have slaves in the same way that we think of the modern word today. A family house would often have indentured servants who functioned much like employees, similar to a maid or butler. They were often contracted to work for a family for a defined period of time. Furthermore, to be honored, it refers to receiving any form of reward or compensation. This could consist of financial remuneration or distinguished social recognition or standing or other valuable assets, benefits, goods, and advantages. Just as a fig tree will faithfully produce fruit if properly cared for, a person's faithful service and care of their Lord will not go unnoticed and unrewarded. The point of the second line is that the one who serves faithfully will not be left empty-handed, but will be rewarded for their diligent service, just like the one who keeps watch over a fig tree will eat of its fruit. We could say the general idea being conveyed by the proverb is that hard work pays off in the end. However, we must keep in mind that the proverb is not asserting some sort of universal truth or formula that always comes to pass without fail. For there are various factors that come into play in life that could change the outcome of a situation. For example, depending upon the climate, rainfall, and available nutrients, a tree, like a fig tree, may not produce any fruit no matter how well you take care of it. Likewise, you could be the most hardworking employee, but your boss may never really take notice or feel inclined to give you special recognition for the extra effort you put in at your job. Nevertheless, in general, I think the proverb does hold true in most circumstances. What I mean is that employers or managers, that is, people who oversee others and have other people working for them, they typically acknowledge and reward those who work hard and contribute significant value to them or the business. There's a great example of this in Scripture in the Old Testament. There was a man named Jacob who had 12 sons. One of his sons was named Joseph. One day, when he told his brothers about a dream he had had, where he saw them bowing before him, they became very angry and bitter. So the other brothers conspired against Joseph, and eventually one day when they were tending to their flocks of sheep in the fields, they captured him and were originally going to kill him, but then chose to throw him in a pit. Then they eventually sold him as a slave to a caravan of Ishmaelite merchants from Midian heading to Egypt. When they arrived in Egypt, the merchants sold Joseph to a man named Potiphar, who was an officer of Pharaoh and the captain of the royal guard. As a servant of Potiphar, Joseph worked hard and served faithfully in Potiphar's house. Genesis chapter 39 recounts what happened to Joseph. It says, beginning in verse 2, Yahweh was with Joseph, and he became a successful man, and he was in the house of his Egyptian master, that is, Potiphar. His master saw that Yahweh was with him, and that Yahweh caused all that he did to succeed in his hands. So Joseph found favor in his sight and attended him, and he made him overseer of his house and put him in charge of all that he had. From the time that he made him overseer in his house over all that he had, Yahweh blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. The blessing of Yahweh was on all that he had in the house and in the field. So he, Potiphar, left all that he had in Joseph's charge, and because of him, he had no concern about anything but the food he ate. What this story depicts is the way that Joseph's faithful service to his master, Potiphar, it resulted in him being promoted to the overseer of Potiphar's entire house. Now, someone might say that the reward that Joseph received for his hard work was simply more work, and in some sense, that might be true. But whenever someone is advanced to a higher position of authority, it generally comes with additional responsibility. So I don't think that that's something to be viewed negatively. The one thing that Joseph did receive, which must not escape our notice, is that he earned Potiphar's trust. For a high-ranking Egyptian officer, such as Potiphar, to entrust his entire house and possessions to be under the care of a foreign slave seems to indicate that Joseph must have proven himself in some really significant ways in the eyes of Potiphar. Furthermore, what is not explicitly mentioned in the text, but can be legitimately inferred, is that Potiphar likely enhanced Joseph's living conditions and upgraded his wardrobe. This is because Joseph would be conducting business on behalf of Potiphar and could be viewed by the community as a representative of Potiphar's house. In looking at everything that happened to Joseph, we can see the truth of the proverb in action. The one who cares for his Lord will be honored. I would like to give one more illustration of this proverb with a more modern example about a man named Tim Cook. After graduating from Auburn University with a Bachelor of Science in Industrial Engineering, and then from Duke University with a Master of Business Administration, Cook began working for International Business Machines, that is, IBM. Over the course of 12 years, Cook progressed upward through the company, finally rising to the position as the Director of North American Fulfillment. He oversaw managing the manufacturing and distribution of IBM's personal computer in North and Latin America. In 1994, Cook left IBM and joined the computer wholesaler company Intelligent Electronics, where he served as the Chief Operating Officer for 3 years. He then transitioned to working for the leading computer manufacturing company in the world at that time, Compaq. Soon after joining Compaq, Cook was approached by Steve Jobs, one of the founders of Apple. Cook had been approached before by people from Apple with job offers, but he had turned them all down. Yet in 1998, Jobs would convince Cook to leave his illustrious COO position at Compaq and come work with him at Apple as the Executive Vice President of Worldwide Sales and Operations. Over the next 3 years at Apple, Cook would prove himself to be an invaluable asset to the company. And in 2005, Cook was promoted to Chief Operating Officer of Apple, where he was responsible for all the company's worldwide sales and operations, including end-to-end management of Apple's supply chain, sales activities, and service and support in all markets and countries. Through his diligent oversight and shrewd business sense, Cook redefined the way Apple did business. He closed factories and manufacturing warehouses and instead built relationships with contract manufacturers, which would eventually save the company millions of dollars and significantly increase its profit margin. Few people, though, could have guessed that on August 24th, 2011, Tim Cook would be named the next CEO of Apple. Cook had been filling in and helping Steve Jobs run Apple for years. And in more recent times, with Jobs' health declining, Cook proved to be a most reliable coworker, picking up any extra slack. And upon Jobs' resignation as CEO, he wrote to the board and strongly recommended that the board name Tim Cook as his successor for the next CEO. As the successor to Steve Jobs, Cook had enormous shoes to fill, even though his 13 years of faithful service at Apple were marked by outstanding performance reviews, where he demonstrated his remarkable talent for business and sound judgment. Since his installment as CEO, Cook has multiplied the company's market value over 480% to what it was in 2011. Apple became the first publicly traded company to exceed $1 trillion in market value in 2018. Cook received the highest honor by being named the next person to lead one of the greatest technology companies in our world today. Not to mention, he is the highest paid employee at Apple as well. In 2019, he made $125 million in total compensation, which makes him the second highest paid CEO in the United States. Cook's journey to CEO of Apple shows us the wisdom of the proverb. Through his diligence and hard work, Jobs saw Cook's ability to lead Apple into the future and happily bestowed upon him this great opportunity and distinction. Few people have ever received such a great reward as this. Now, none of us will probably become the CEO of a Fortune 500 company like Cook, but I would bet that we all have instances in our lives where we have worked hard and have been faithful to do our best and have been rewarded for it. Whether being given extra allowance from our parents while we were growing up, or receiving special certificates in school for good grades, or being awarded medals or trophies in athletics or competitions, or even earning salaries and bonuses in our careers. Remember, those who work hard will be rewarded, and they will enjoy the fruit of their labor. This is the wisdom of the proverb.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Words of Wisdom podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, we would be so appreciative if you would share this podcast with your friends. And if you have been blessed by this work, please consider supporting the podcast by clicking on the donation link in the description.